This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices, united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Something's Brewing, your Texas Longhorn football recruiting podcast. I'm your host, Jason Sukumel, back for another, I don't want to lie and say action-packed edition. We got some things we'll talk about this week. The dead period is finally over, so things should start picking up soon, and we're going to have spring football starting up for Texas. We'll have visitors coming to campus, so, you know, the kind of lull that was most of February is over and is behind us. But last week, I recorded this podcast, and surprisingly, it turned out a little better than I thought. The audio of it did, so I recorded from my car. If for those of you who are faithful listeners, I recorded it from my car in my daughter's pickup line at her elementary school. Hey, I got there early. I had time to kill. I had my stuff with me, and I just knocked out a podcast. So that worked so well, I decided I'd try it again. So last week was Where's Sukumel? Here's Where's Sukumel Part 2. It's a hint. I'm in my car again. I'm going to try not to make a habit of this, but honestly, sometimes it's quieter in my car than it is at my house, and I've got some time to kill, man. My daughter, one of my daughters plays lacrosse, among other athletic events she participates in. So she's at lacrosse practice. She's got an hour to, no, 2 hour lacrosse practice. So I've got some time to kill, man. By the time I drive home and do all that business, it doesn't give me a whole lot of time. So I'm just going to sit in my car, knock out a podcast, and make good use of my time, hopefully. So, like I said, I'm going to try not to make a habit of this, but hey, man, if I'm sitting in a car and I got to twiddle my thumbs for an hour or something or watch her practice or whatever, I might as well get some work done, right? So that's where I am recording from this week, and I'm fresh on the heels from a trip to Walmart. I don't know why that popped in my head just now. Walmart and HEB. I had to go to both places because it's so freaking insane with all these coronavirus panickers that are just buying up everything on the shelves, and I hope everybody's doing fine. I'm sure you are. That thing hasn't really hit us that hard yet, but I think it's coming. But it's crazy to me, man. I have not sweated this coronavirus stuff at all. Yeah, I pay attention to the news reports and what's going on a little bit, but going to Walmart, it looked like a damn war zone on some of those aisles, and HEB too, and that almost panics me more than the idea of getting the disease. It's like, how in the hell am I going to get my supplies, my toilet paper and, you know, soaps and hand washing soaps and paper towels and canned goods are scattered all over the place. Man, it's bottled waters. There wasn't a single bottled water at HEB. It's just crazy, man. So I hope this thing blows over quickly for so many reasons. But my fear is that all the fear among just general public and the panic is that's what's going to impact everything, man. It's like, I'm not usually one of those guys who, you know, thinks the world's going to come to an end and hits the panic button on things of this nature. I'm like, damn, do I really need to start stocking up on, canned goods and things like that? Not because I'm afraid of the coronavirus, because, man, you know, I'm not too worried about that, but just what the hell is this going to be a time where we're going to have problems finding food and, provisions, who knows? But hey, whatever, that's not what y'all are here to talk about. I don't know why that popped in my head. I just went to the store before coming to lacrosse practice, turned into a 2 hour adventure going to HEB and Walmart. Holy shit, I may have to just start buying everything on Amazon. But let's talk a little bit of recruiting. As I mentioned, it's Tuesday night as I record this. The dead period did end on Sunday, so I thought it was interesting. You had some schools like Oklahoma, for one, was a big one. Baylor, too. They had a bunch of visitors come in on Sunday, the first day the dead period ended. Texas kind of stood pat and is going to kind of, instead of overloading, kind of front-loading everything, I think the Texas coaches are going to take a little bit more time, probably bring guys in, you know, instead of having just a big junior day event, which Texas did have one in January, so let's not forget about that. But instead of having a big junior day event on the first day of March, when the junior day ended, I think you'll start to see Texas bring some guys in for visits here and there. And I've talked to a few guys who will be coming in March and even in April. So Texas will probably spread those out, which I'm okay with. On one hand, you know, it's nice to get all those guys on campus at the same time. like Texas did in late January, kind of drums up some excitement, and the guys kind of, some of those guys click and bond. But then on the other hand, if you bring them in, you know, in smaller groups and spread them out over different weekends, you can show them a little bit more personal attention maybe. So no visitors for Texas last week, and not that I'm aware of. So I think we'll start to see that change probably as early as this weekend. Certainly after we get through spring break and Texas starts spring football and stuff, I think you'll see a regular influx of unofficial visitors. So let's talk a little bit about, I'll tell you what I want to start with. I actually talked to both these guys on Sunday, two guys that Texas offered over the weekend, two defensive backs. So I thought that was interesting. One, and they're kind of two extremes. One is Sierre Wright, a cornerback out of Los Angeles Loyola High School. The other is a safety, Andrew Mukuba, from Austin LBJ. So you have one out-of-state offer that went out in the secondary, and then one to a local product right down the road at Austin LBJ. So let's start with Sierre Wright. Pretty interesting dude. I talked to him Sunday evening after he got his offer. We got his offer earlier in the weekend. He didn't announce it till Sunday. For some reason, he didn't go public with it until Sunday. But I did talk to Sierre Wright on Sunday evening. Had a lot of really interesting things to say about Texas. And, you know, usually when you call those Cali guys, you're like, okay, they're probably going to tell you a little bit of what you want to hear. And they're going to tell you, oh yeah, Texas is on my radar. And, you know, I want to go visit Texas. I mean, most kids seem to say, I want to go visit Texas. But, you know, I think there was some kind of a feel of some genuine interest there on the behalf of Sierre Wright. You know, he told me, hey, he's got family. His family's from Texas. His grandfather's side of his family is from Terrell, Texas. His grandmother's side of his family is from College Station, Texas. So he said, hey, man, distance really isn't a factor. You know, he's open to going anywhere, and he's a strong academic kid. Says, hey, you know, I want to go somewhere that's going to provide for me both as an athlete, but after my college degree is over or college career is over, what's going to prepare me? What school is going to prepare me for life after football? And he understands, hey, Texas can do a lot of good things with Texas's academic reputation, alumni base, and so on and so forth. So distance isn't a factor. He did tell me, hey, I'm going to come visit the state of Texas sometime soon. Probably he would try to do it this spring, and it would be Texas, Texas A&M, and Baylor that he would be coming to visit. So that's going to be interesting. You know, I always say with these out-of-state guys, hey, they all say, or most of them say, hey, I want to take a visit. I want to get to Austin. I want to see Texas. And that's good to hear if you're a Texas fan. But until they really show up, you know, I don't take it really seriously until they do show up. Now, Sierre Wright, I think there's a good chance he does make it in. He said he comes to the state of Texas quite a bit, usually during the summer. He's going to come this spring or this summer, kind of make a couple different two or three different visits around the state. Interesting side note on Sierre Wright. I was Googling his name, and I went to YouTube just I went there to find out, make sure I was pronouncing his name right. It's C-E-Y-A-I-R. So I wanted to make sure I was saying it right. But the first video I saw on YouTube when you punch in his name was he's actually starring in space, not starring, but he's, I guess, co-starring, if you will, in the movie Space Jam 2. I don't know what his role is. I didn't get too deep into that interview, but I thought that was interesting. And it makes sense, man. He's from LA, talking to the kid. He's a very personable young man. So keep an eye out for Space Jam 2. It may be already out for all I know. Hell, I don't know. I never saw the first one back in the day, but Sierre Wright is going to be in Space Jam 2. I think it said maybe he's playing LeBron James's son in that movie. So pretty cool deal, man. Let's keep an eye on that. But, and he did go to, he got invited to the 5-star challenge recently. So I'll get to see him in person at that 5-star challenge this summer. I kind of joked with him. I said, man, too bad Texas didn't offer you a couple weeks ago. I was out in LA and I could have, he's like, oh man, you were like 10 minutes from where I live, 10 minutes in LA, which means what, probably a mile and a half. But yeah, I could have gone and caught up with him out in LA and got some FaceTime there. But anyways, I'll get to see him at the 5-star challenge. Now, I mentioned the offer a little bit closer to home, Andrew Mukuba. The safety from Austin LBJ, kind of an interesting conversation, man. I talked to him on Sunday evening. He was actually in the car on his way home from an Oklahoma unofficial visit. I mentioned to you that Oklahoma had some a bunch of visitors on campus last weekend. Well, he was one of them. I didn't know that when I reached out to him, but he hit me back. He goes, yeah, man, just call me and I'll give you an interview. I'd hit him up on Twitter. So I call him and he's like, oh yeah, I'm in the car on my way back from Oklahoma. I'm like, oh dude. So I kept it pretty short, but you know, he's a local guy from out of Austin, LBJ. His stock's been blowing up recently, man. He's got a ton of offers, big time national offers. He did tell me he's going to take a visit to Texas this spring, probably to see them at a spring football practice. But I had a sneaky suspicion, man, after talking to him this weekend. He just visited Oklahoma. He raved about that visit. He loved that visit to Oklahoma. His teammate, Latrell McCutcheon, recently decommitted from Alabama. And he was at Oklahoma this weekend. There's a lot of scuttlebutt that he may have given Oklahoma a silent commitment this weekend. My money right now, if I'm betting, is that Andrew Mukuba is going to follow if McCutcheon is, in fact, committed to Oklahoma. I think there's a good shot you're going to see both those guys wind up committing to Oklahoma. So we'll see. You know, we'll see Texas trying to get Andrew on campus. And I thought it was interesting, you know, I mean, two guys from an Austin high school that might go north of the Red River and go to Oklahoma. Yeah, it's interesting. Texas was a little later than some schools in offering both of those guys. It might have set Texas behind from both of them, to the point McCutcheon really doesn't have an interest. Mukuba, I think, has an interest, but I just don't know how strong it is just yet. And unfortunately, this podcast, I'm just kind of scribbled down a few notes before I clicked record. And I'll be damned, everything I started writing, I was like, damn it, this has too much of an Oklahoma feel to it. So, but that's just kind of the way the news came out this week. So we talked about the two DBs from Austin LBJ that I think Oklahoma's in a strong spot in. One other guy, I think this is interesting. Last week, I got two messages sent to me independent of one another from two completely unconnected sources. And I fully trust them both. I think the information they gave me was really good. And it was about Bryce Foster, the five-star offensive lineman from Katy Taylor. You know, most of the talk has been about Texas A&M being Texas's biggest challenger there, maybe LSU to some degree, maybe Oregon. He really likes Oregon. He's visited there. They have a great track and field program, which is important to him. What I heard last week, and I am inclined to believe it, is that the biggest threat to get Bryce Foster's commitment right now is actually Oklahoma. And I think Oklahoma's done a really good job, from what I hear, really pushing the track angle and really making him a priority as a track recruit, track and field recruit. Now, you know, Bryce has visited Texas twice. He visited in the fall and he visited for Texas's Elite Junior Day in late January. He did meet with the Texas throwing coach on both occasions. So it's not like Texas isn't showing him, hey, you can do both. They're not, they are recruiting him as a track and field athlete, but it's my understanding that Oklahoma is really pushing that issue and prioritizing it. So I think the Sooners, everything I've heard, just kind of behind the scenes, may have gained some momentum in that one. Now, I will say this about Bryce Foster. He's not planning on committing. He's not planning on deciding until December, probably late December, maybe even during that early signing window. So he's going to take all five of his official visits. I don't think he's anywhere close to making a decision. You know, even if he has a leader right now, I do genuinely think, and I put this on Orange Bloods in my 3-2-1 column, I think any one of those five teams on his list, Texas, Oklahoma, Texas A&M, LSU, and Oregon, I think any one of those five could still win this race. But right now, there's a lot of buzz that Oklahoma has created some momentum there. So, you know, Texas is going to have to kind of reevaluate, or, you know, I mean, say reevaluate, because it's not like Texas is doing a bad job recruiting him necessarily, but, you know, Texas may want to adjust its recruiting pitch, maybe get the track staff more on board a little bit and just kind of get those guys to maybe pick up their efforts. Yeah, I think if they do that, I think Texas can still win out, certainly for Bryce Foster, one of the top prospects overall in the entire country. A couple younger guys, I'm kind of just transitioning here. I wrote about them on Tuesday, so I'm going to talk about them, but not a whole lot to say. But I haven't mentioned them much after going to that Rivals camp a couple weeks ago down in Houston. But two guys worth mentioning are Cam Dewberry, the 2022 offensive lineman out of Humble Atascocita, and Justin Medlock, the 2022 linebacker out of Manville. I mean, you can make a case that Dewberry was probably the best 22 prospect at that camp. He got a five-star challenge invitation. He was fantastic, working out of his right tackle spot. Really moved well, really just dominated the competition. So he did well, and I said, you know, if he was the best offensive player, 2022 offensive player at that camp, the best defensive player I saw 2022 that really jumped out to me was Justin Medlock, though. Like I said, the linebacker from Manville. And stop me if you've heard this before, but Oklahoma's all over him. The Sooners have already offered him. He told me Oklahoma is standing out for him, but he wants to visit Texas this spring. And I think if Texas offers there, they'd have a good shot. But right now, he really likes Oklahoma, and Oklahoma's offered him early. They're a little bit ahead of the curve right now. He's a little bit undersized, about 6 foot, 215-ish. Not the biggest linebacker by any means, but just moves really well. He was terrific in coverage at that Rivals camp. That's just a small element to playing linebacker. I get it, but he did a good job. Hey, listen, Oklahoma, several other schools have offered him too, so don't be surprised if Texas jumps into that mix at some point. But my thinking is, hey, Texas probably shouldn't wait too long. They don't want to fall behind the eight ball, too far behind the eight ball with Justin Medlock, like maybe they did with a guy like Latrell McCutcheon, maybe even Andrew Makuba possibly. But my prediction in my column, I'll elaborate on that. I did predict in my 3-2-1 column on Orange Bloods on Tuesday that Texas will get a commitment from Port Arthur Memorial defensive end Jordan Thomas. And you know, the reason I'm predicting that, it's not certainly not because anything Thomas has told me, because that dude never really talks unless you catch him in person. He hasn't been on the camp circuit. He didn't come up to the Texas Elite Day. He did visit Texas in late January, but he wasn't at that Elite Day where he was, you know, the media had a chance to talk to him. But he did put on Instagram, I think it was Instagram, it might have been Twitter. I think it was Instagram. I can't remember. But he said, hey, I'm close to a decision. I'm close to making a commitment. Will it be Texas or Texas A&M? So basically he's saying, hey, he's down to those two schools. He's going to make a decision soon. You know, I tell you, everything I've seen, and I've thought that kid was a Texas lean for a while, but if you're just paying attention to the social media tea leaves on Instagram and Twitter, I mean, the Longhorns seem to be the team to beat there. I mean, he does post some A&M stuff, but Jordan Thomas seems pro-Texas more than anything else. So if he's true to his word, if he commits soon, I think the Longhorns look pretty good there. Tremendous prospect. You know, he was a guy at one time was borderline Rivals 100, you know, top 100 guy in the country. He's dropped down quite a bit because he missed most of his, I think all of his senior season, actually, with an injury. So tough guy to evaluate right now. I mean, you want to see him come back healthy, but just a tremendous physical prospect with great size, great athleticism. He just needs to get healthy. Prove it again next year, and you'll see him climb those rankings again. But so keep an eye on Jordan Thomas. We'll see if something happens there. And speaking of that, I thought an interesting way to wrap this up. I think I'm going to start working on a 2022 recruiting board, which is, I like doing those because fans like doing them. But doing that first one is such a daunting task. It's just so much HTML, so much that goes into that, building the first one. Once you get the first one built, the recruiting board, then it's kind of tweaking. You're changing percentages of on guys, or maybe adding a new name here, or changing a guy from uncommitted to committed. It's a pain in the ass, don't get me wrong, but it's nothing like building that first one when you're building it from scratch and you're having to insert whatever, 75 scholarship offers, you know, guys into this board and put percentages and put their schools and put their rankings and so on and so forth. But I was kind of looking at the offer list and going through, like, which guys would I have at maybe 50% or better if I was making a recruiting board for Texas right now. So I was kind of just scribbling down some names if I'm looking at it. If you start with quarterback, I mean, Texas has one quarterback commitment, of course, in Jalen Milroe. There's a chance Texas could take a second one. We've seen them offer a couple guys in Garrett Nussmeier and Sawyer Robertson, but I don't think I would put either one of those guys over or at or over 50% to wind up at Texas. So I think Texas can get a second quarterback. I just don't know who it would be right now if I was putting money down. Running back. you know, Texas has several running back offers out. The only one I would say I think is better than 50%, and I said this after I talked to him at the Rivals camp a couple weeks ago after he showed up wearing UT gear and he told me, hey, it's Texas and Texas Tech. I think Texas has a good shot to land Jonathan Brooks. And he's a guy that's kind of under the radar, doesn't talk a lot, doesn't get a lot of pub. But I think he'd be a nice complimentary back to a second back, you know, if Texas could get someone like an L.J. Johnson or Travion Henderson, the guy, the running back out of Virginia. Kamar Wheaton's been a guy we talked about before probably. So, but don't sleep on Jonathan Brooks. From a kind of a smaller school in Hallettsville, but kind of a big athlete, looks the part, did pretty well at that Rivals camp. Obviously very high on UT, shows up wearing a UT sweatshirt to that camp. So if I'm putting hit over 50%, Jonathan Brooks would be over 50%. Wide receiver, tough one to call, man. I don't really, there's a lot of wide receiver offers out there, and there's so many of them are out of state guys. So it's really hard to kind of pinpoint, you know, until those guys maybe take a visit, it's hard to say that I'd put Texas as the leader there. You know, I think, you know, there's a guy, Troy Stellato, that says he's going to take a visit to Texas. I don't think Texas is a leader there by any means, but they're in the race. Teddy Knox, you know, I think Teddy Knox, Theodore Knox has a, you can make a case that Texas is a team to beat there, but he's kind of quiet. He's hard to read. The guy that I would feel comfortable with putting it over 50%, and we've talked about him before, is Quay Davis. I mean, if Texas pushes there and wants to take Quay Davis, Quay Davis is going to be a Longhorn. So it's just a matter of, you know, how that one comes together. But if Texas wants him, Quay Davis is going to be part of that class. And tight end, you know, Texas has a commitment from Juan Davis, who's kind of a just a jumbo athlete, if you will, not necessarily a true tight end. I think if there's a second tight end in this class, Texas did lose a tight end commitment from Lake McCree. If I'm putting percentages, I think Landon King at Atascocita, I mean, I'd put him 70-plus percent. This is a guy, I talked to him at the Rivals camp. I'd talked to him previously. He loved his Texas visit not too long ago. His sister goes to Texas. Everything about that one makes sense. So I think Landon King has a good chance of being that second offense, or I'm sorry, tight end commitment. Offensive line. Now, this is where it gets tricky. Texas has one commitment from Hayden Connor. And, I mean, there's several other big-time offensive linemen on the radar. It's tough to predict some of these ones, man. The Brockermeyer brothers, Tommy and James Brockermeyer. Man, I just don't know. I mean, I think I'd probably, if I was putting a percentage on those two right now, I'd probably have it right around 50%, maybe 45. But I'm not sure I could go over 50. So maybe they would be at that 50% range. I'd almost like to talk to Tommy and James one more time before I do that recruiting board. But, yeah, it's a tough one to call. I mean, Texas is obviously right there, but I certainly wouldn't go any above 50%. Savion Byrd, a lot of people talking about LSU. He's never even visited LSU. I mean, they're going to be a major player for him, LSU is. But when I talked to him a couple weeks ago, man, it was Texas and SMU. Those are the two schools he talked about. He's a tough one. I mean, he might be the type that shocks you and goes to SMU and stays close to home and decides to, you know, try to help rebuild SMU and, you know, play with Preston Stone. Preston Stone's recruiting him. But I don't know. I definitely would put Texas around 50% for Savion Byrd. You know, I think Jonah Miller, I talked about him, the offensive lineman out of Tucson South Point, Bijan Robinson's roommate. I almost said roommate. Maybe it could be roommates, but teammate. I think Texas has a really good shot there. And, you know, in talking to him, he's really, really high on Texas. I think the Longhorns are 50%. You know, I think I even predicted if I was maybe in my column a couple weeks ago. So I think I'd definitely put Jonah Miller at or above that 50% spot. Bryce Foster. Boy, that's a tough one. I mean, you could make a case to put him at about 50%, but I just don't think I can do that right now. I think maybe Oklahoma, maybe even Texas A&M, you know, I think I'd put Texas at about 40%, 35% versus the field, you know. So it's tough to call on some of those linemen. It's kind of some swing votes there, if you will. Defensive line, I mentioned Jordan Thomas. I would have him over 50%. I think Shamar Turner is over 50% after I talked to him recently. I just think Texas looks good there. There's a lot of buzz about Texas and Landon Jackson. I think the Longhorns, you could make a case to put him around that 50% mark, but I think A&M is going to be tough still when push comes to shove. He's going to take all five of his visits. I think I'd have Texas a shade under 50% against the field, but I would put Landon Jackson. He'd be in consideration, but he'd probably be a shade under 50% for me. At linebacker, Texas has a commitment from Derek Harris Jr. You know, I mentioned it after talking to him, this young man, Terrence Cooks, after the Rivals camp. That one just looks like Texas. It makes a lot of sense. Now, he did visit Oklahoma on Sunday. I haven't talked to him since then, so I need to kind of follow up to see if the Sooners really made a move. Otherwise, I think that one looks like Texas, and a lot of that's based on there's just a lot of confidence among some of the Texas commitments. So I think Texas has a really good chance with Terrence Cooks. At defensive back, you know, you've got Billy Bowman, who's committed. He's kind of an athlete type, but he can certainly be a defensive back for Texas. I don't know. I talked to J.D. Coffey this weekend, and he didn't name Texas as a leader, but Texas is kind of one of the two schools he mentioned standing out. So I think the Longhorns have a great shot there. He visited in January. He's planning on coming back for a visit in late March. He already has a date picked out, he told me. Didn't want to make a quick decision, but I think, you know, he really likes Texas. So I'd put him probably a little over 50%. And then the other one, and just talking to him, and it just kind of makes sense. Young man out of Dallas, Isaiah Nwokobia, a fairly recent safety offer. He visited Texas. Just in talking to him a couple weeks ago after he visited, after Texas offered, I think I'd have him over 50%. I do. I mean, he has some other schools, again, he wants to check out. But just in my conversation with him, I remember when I hung up the phone, and I can't even remember exactly what he said. I'd have to go through my notes. But I remember when I hung up thinking, hey, that kid almost sounds like Texas is the team to beat there. So I didn't count them up. There's probably 6, 7, or 8 guys that I would put at 50% or better. Add those to the 6 commitments Texas already has. If they all came true, that puts you at about 13 or 14 spots. You know, leaves you with 6 or 7 others to kind of fill out that class. So we'll see. Very early. Lots of room for movement with these guys. You're going to have official visits coming up starting in about a month. So, you know, there should be a lot to talk about with unofficial visits in March and then official visits in the spring and summer. We should have a pretty good feel on some of these guys. But with that, that's kind of some of the things for this week. We'll see if we get some real action next week. Who knows? Maybe one of these commitments we've been kind of wondering about, maybe one of these will fall here pretty soon. So let's wait to see. Maybe we'll have some exciting news to talk about next week. Not necessarily expecting it, but it certainly wouldn't be a complete shock if it happens. So I appreciate everybody listening. This is Jason Sukumil. This has been Something's Brewing. Big shout out to our partners at the Yak. And hey, pop around the Yak. Take a listen to, you know, Dustin McComas's baseball and basketball podcast, and Anwar and Ketch, and they've got their podcast. Alex Dunlap, of course, does his. We've got, you know, just other non-sports podcasts even on there. So, you know, pop around, see, find some things you like. But I appreciate y'all giving me some of your time and listening to my Something's Brewing podcast. You all have a safe week. Have a good week. We'll talk to you next week. Take care.